Thank you very much, Mr. Guerra. Indeed, in the framework of the topic of this afternoon, especially infrastructure enabling access to knowledge and preservation of creative material, Victor Vasquez López of the Secretariat has proposed to me to focus on a very particular aspect, namely on the use of registries and databases in the field of traditional cultural expressions, or in other words, expressions of folklore. Traditional cultural expressions I will mostly abbreviate by TCEs, and both notions are synonymous. In this topic, the question of registration and databases is quite controversial. It plays a big role, and that's why it may be useful to talk about it for some 10 minutes. As you know, at the international level, especially within the relevant intergovernmental committee of WIPO, we have been discussing for some years already a possible sui generis protection for TCEs in favor of the indigenous communities or other stakeholders, indigenous cultural communities. So far, some national laws in this respect exist, and some regional instruments. And since we're still considering an international instrument, the question is still open: should there be an element such as databases, registration, voluntarily probably, or not? What is the use of such registration in this field? Well, certainly the use would be to make it easier for potential users to get to know what TCEs are existing and belong to whom, though often in practice in this field probably TCEs are kept within the local communities and users would have to approach anyway directly these communities, so they would have to go there anyway, so a database might not always be so necessary. But anyway, there could be some clearance factor here. The other question is, would this use of databases be appropriate from the indigenous point of view? And before I try some answers, I need to highlight some particularities of TCEs as opposed to Western-style authors' rights. In order to get a better understanding of the problem, this protection by sui generis rules has been claimed by indigenous peoples against the background of their self-determination right. They ask for respect for their TCEs, in particular through a right to control the use thereof, especially by demanding prior informed consent. So before anyone should use their TCEs, they would like to have the question posed to them whether they may use that, and if so, for what purpose, under what circumstances, etc. The reasons are either spiritual or non-economic. For example, to keep the integrity, to keep the power of a particular TCE. Also, the authenticity interest, but also economic reasons where others would exploit such folklore expressions and would not share the benefits with the indigenous peoples. So this is, in a nutshell, why we are talking about this. Indeed, although TCEs are currently under the public domain under the Western system, the own customary laws of indigenous peoples usually protect TCEs. Protection may be not the right word here, because anyway they do not have the same notion of property or owning the TCEs. It's rather an obligation of the individual person or the group within a community very often to take care of a TCE, that it is used properly in the customary context, not in an offending way, that it is not diluted, and whatever else you have. So that's more a form of custodianship, which serves the well-being of the local or other traditional community. And this leads me to the importance and role of TCEs for such communities, which is quite different from the regular role of culture in the Western civilization. Although one has to say one must never generalize anything on indigenous peoples because the diversity is so big, but at least one can try to highlight some things which you find in most indigenous communities. In particular, that they follow a holistic worldview where everything is interrelated. The mankind is just the part of the entire system. The relationships of men with the surrounding world are most important. Surrounding world would include the land, the animals, the plants, other humans, also the spirits and the ancestors, so everything. And now I come to the TCEs and their role. Their role is mostly to revive such relationships so that the person of the community is reassured of its or his or her self-identity through the exercise of TCEs, through the dancing, through the singing of music, through the telling of the stories, etc. So this is actually the most important function, if you want, of TCEs within indigenous communities. So it's not just entertainment or just enhancing cultural diversity. That's not a goal. That's probably not even a concept for indigenous peoples. And even access to knowledge is something which is, you know, not really shared in the same way as in the Western civilization. It might not mean anything to them. Often TCEs are even precluded to other members of the community in order to protect them well by the caretakers. Another feature which is important in respect of databases and registration is the fact that TCEs are usually transmitted from generation to generation orally, so they are not written down. We are talking about living cultural heritage, and connected to this is the dynamic character of TCEs, which means while songs are being sung and dances are being danced, they are being changed, they evolve through practice. So you never have the one fixed form of as you may have it for an author's work. So it's very dynamic and changing. Therefore, you can already see that fixation at a certain point of time would go against this nature of TCEs. Only in the more recent times, some indigenous peoples have tried to, or have been maybe convinced by outsiders, to approach this possibility of databases and this issue has been very controversially discussed. Some laws provide for registration, such as the one in Panama. It's interesting to see that within the IGC of WIPO, we started out with a proposal by the Secretariat which included a voluntary registration for particularly valuable TCEs. So if an indigenous community thought that a particular TCE was very dear to itself, then they could register it and have a prior informed consent protection. This was the concept proposed. The latest status of discussions, however, is that no registration anymore appears in the latest texts which have been adopted, not adopted, but which are have been discussed in summer. You can only find the principle of freedom of formalities. And this development from having something on registration towards not having anything may reflect the reluctance of indigenous peoples in this regard. They have said, well, while there is this advantage of more legal certainty for users, of course, from their point of view, the disadvantages would be that open databases would invite the world to take these TCEs for adaptations and other uses, and they cannot control that, and they still want to have some control for the reasons I mentioned beforehand. And especially when TCEs are secret, they have a particular value, they would, by publication in the database, also lose possible trade secret protection. I mentioned already the fixation which comes with registration and which is against the oral and dynamic nature of TCEs. And in addition, as has been shown in the practice in Panama, registration may be quite costly and cumbersome. In Panama, especially, you can register only in the capital at the IP office, I believe. And imagine some indigenous peoples who live on little islands far away from the capital and who have really little means to make a 3 days journey to arrive in the capital for the registration. You have to think of these practical consequences also of registration. And some indigenous person told me also that putting a TCE into a database would be misleading because you should not see one particular expression of folklore as a separate element, as a separate expression, but it always has to be seen in the context of a whole system. It is related to maybe the land around or to a certain ceremony or to a bigger context, and it would be misleading to just extract, so to say, the concrete song or story. I have to speed up. Therefore, certain medium solutions are being discussed, for example, not to have open databases, but only some which are, first of all, made by the indigenous peoples themselves and who give access to such databases on a contractual basis where they stipulate what may be done with this information or not. This may be an interim way to go. Or to differentiate between certain kinds of TCEs, the secret or sacred ones, which should not be made open to the public, and other ones, etc. Anyway, I think it is important to have such databases only with the prior informed consent of indigenous peoples who must be aware of the possible consequences of having these databases, including losing trade secret protection. And actually, the WIPO has initiated a pilot training program with starting with the Maasai in Kenya, where they learn themselves to document their own TCEs and to manage their IP rights related or to control what they need to control. So, of course, only with the consent of the indigenous peoples. To conclude, if we make the connection back to the title, including the words enabling creativity and enabling access to knowledge, one has to recall that creativity as such does not seem to be a goal itself for indigenous communities, given the special function of TCEs for them. And also the same goes for enhancing access, because they do not have the same notion of freedom of expression or free speech. It's a Western value. It is not shared by everybody, and not in the same sense, at least. So we have to see where to find the limit between two cultures, if you want. And a commodification of their TCEs should, through the help of databases and registries, I think one should be careful before one does so, should not be necessarily pushed by governments, even for development purposes. Sometimes, well, at least as the indigenous owners do not consent. After all, they feel it's theirs, they have done it, they own it, they have some responsibility for it, and at least there should be respect for their claims and not a second colonization, so to say, as they would feel probably. This is my personal conclusion, which is more or less based on many talks with indigenous peoples and experience in the IGC also. Thank you very much.